Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Monday to you, right?
No, Thursday. Monday?
Thursday. Because we had the day off yesterday.
I know.
Was weird.
Yeah,
feels wrong.
I knew it was wrong, and yet it's like when you throw a baseball, then you stop halfway, and it falls right in front of your feet. That's how that just felt.
You actually had me, though. I was like, yeah, Monday, yeah.
But also, it's kind of your Friday, too, isn't it?
It is.
You won't have a show tomorrow.
No, this was a weird week, and weird, because it's always good, like, who doesn't love a day off? And doing the afternoon show, we get much more time off than you guys do. The 1:20 games are great because we don't have to come in because, you know, it's going to be done like 3:30, 4:30, whatever it is. But it's also weird. It like kind of screws you up. Like having a day, the Crimea River, in the middle of the week. But it's like I thought it was Monday. Like I really did. That was strange.
Yeah, because yesterday did kind of feel like a Sunday. I mean, there's baseball in the afternoon, which is normally a Sunday thing.
Yeah.
And then you're not working and you're just sitting around and then all of a sudden you come back to work.
Come back to work.
Yeah.
And honestly, you could have had a situation where there were 3 day games in a row.
Yeah.
Because the Cubs will play like Thursday. Well, they always play Friday afternoon games.
Right.
They would have played a Thursday afternoon game. You would have been off today.
Man, that would have been terrible.
We'd have all gone out of town together like the monkeys.
Is it only a night game tonight because it's on MLB Network?
I think so, because usually they only are allowed Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night games, and then a Sunday, or if it's a national or something.
Right. Yeah.
So you could have had 3 straight days off.
Wow.
Man.
What's the deal with that? So they only put lights in Wrigley like
1988.
Yeah, I was going to say it was about 30 years ago. Yeah.
And they still don't play many night games. Is that the deal?
They are only allowed, I think it's an ordinance in the neighborhood that they can only play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or like I said, if it's
Friday,
a national
Saturdays,
game that ESPN has it or something.
I think is it 5 days or 4? Where they're allowed to outside of that designation. Because they're playing Sunday night, because that's going to be on ESPN. So they're getting 2 primetime games in this series. Normally, a Sunday would be an afternoon.
Yeah.
And
but
all
for
of their,
a week, a weekday game, they're, I think, only allowed 3.
On a routine basis.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
With minus exceptions. Yeah.
We're just talking. Chris is dressed very nicely today for a radio guy.
Got a collar.
Got a collar.
I got a shirt
on.
With buttons.
Button down.
Yeah,
Yeah, there you go.
You don't always wear pants.
These are the same pants I always put on.
You wear shorts sometimes.
No, I have never worn shorts in here.
No.
Just out of here?
That's right.
Yeah.
Again, you couldn't be more married.
Yeah.
She thinks you wear shorts all the time. You've
I know.
Never worn
Ross
shorts.
Is like, I literally never
it's like you
have
don't
worn
even pay
shorts.
Attention.
No, because you wear, I, anyway.
But I'll tell
like
you what.
You don't
I'll tell you what. I really.
You never listen to me.
I don't wear shorts in here, but I really, really want to.
I've had them on. I've had them on before that I'm like, I can't do it. I can't
but then
pull
I think
trigger.
About it like, really, what's effectively the difference between, you know.
Your calves are showing.
Yeah, so what?
Between shorts and pants.
I mean, do I look that much more professional?
We all know the difference.
Steve once said, before you guys worked here, Steve once said that if he saw anybody wearing shorts at KMOX, he would send them home.
Yeah.
Did
well,
he really say that?
He did. He did an email one time.
In 1990.
No, it was like 2019, 2020-ish.
So I started wearing...
Because remember, Brendan Shanahan, who wore shorts every single day, was having like a panic attack. He was freaking. He's like, I don't even own jeans.
I mean...
Brendan Shanahan, the hockey
I'm not going to name names, but there
he used to be a producer here.
I'm not going to name names, but there have been people that hosted it in the evening here that would wear pajamas to work some days.
No.
You?
I've seen a lot of morning shows.
Not me.
Yeah, a lot of morning shows wear pajamas.
But that was, I mean, again, this was a while ago. This wasn't recent.
Well, and I know when I first started here, when I first started coming in, like 2016, Charlie Brennan would wear, if not a tie, would wear a blazer or a nice dress shirt.
Yep.
Kevin Kleen always wore a tie. I mean, they were just coming out of the suit and tie.
CBS.
And just like last year, I did start wearing nicer shorts to work. Partly because, A, I think COVID made us all way more casual, and B, I don't really wear skirts, and there are a lot of short skirts, and I feel like, well, if you can wear a short skirt, can you wear shorts if they're nice shorts?
People do.
Well, if you can wear shorts, then why can't we?
Yeah.
Because you're men. Nobody wants that.
Did we wear shorts during COVID? I don't remember.
I don't think so, because, again, Steve had told people to not wear shorts to work.
I wore swishy pants.
You wore like, swishy pants?
Yeah, we had pajama day that one time. We all wore pajamas to
like
work.
Adidas swishy pants kind of thing. Yeah. I wore those, which I haven't worn since.
I have a pair of the, like what Ronch has on now, like the Lululemon joggers.
Yeah.
I think I've worn them here once, and I still felt weird.
Really?
Yeah, and it's not like because I'm formal, because I'm Mr. Jeans and a t-shirt, which we were talking about on the break before we started. So tomorrow is my mom's burial, and I'm officiating. And so I went to Nordstrom and bought a new blazer and a nice like V-neck T-shirt. That's kind of, you know, that's, we're going casual, but, you know, respectful. And I had to wait for them to take the sleeves in, and I was just kind of shopping around, and they had, I guess Boss is a great brand and a popular one, and they had, they're like $200 or $300, and they're on sale for $100 for just like a, like what I call an Izod shirt, like a pullover the collar golf shirt. And I tried it on. I just look ridiculous. I look absolutely ridiculous. I can pull off the blazer and the T-shirt. That's dressy, and I look okay, but I don't know. The shaved head and the tattoos and a golf shirt. I just look so dumb.
It is really funny how you called the polo an Izod, because when I was a kid, that's where you got to put the Izod shirt on.
Yeah. Little alligator.
Yeah. It wasn't called a polo. It was an Izod.
Yeah. It's all like that's what so generation funny. You're from. Oh, yep. For me, they're Izods.
Do you think that's a real thing, that you actually look like a doofus?
Yes.
Or is it just in your perception, in your own head? Because don't you feel like there are certain things that, like if you put on, there are certain things that I wear, I feel like a circus clown. I feel ridiculous.
Yeah, I feel very much like I look like a doofus. It's not one of the. It's not like a fishing for compliments.
You probably don't
thing.
Actually like other people seeing you would be probably not go. Can you wear, wow, look at that guy.
Can you wear a shirt like that to work one day, and we can all decide what the
sure.
doofus factor is?
Yeah, I have a couple because I have to wear them to play golf, mm-hmm. and even then I feel so stupid. So stupid.
Yeah, but golf clothes are.
You know, you don't have
anyway.
To wear those to play golf. You're allowed to wear, or is it the country? Is
yeah,
the club
it's out of Widmore?
Oh, so that's they have their yeah. dress code. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, thinking about this, back to the old days of the KMOX newsroom and the that look, right, mm-hmm. where yeah. you're wearing a tie. At minimum, you're wearing a button down shirt. Mm-hmm. Might be, you know, short sleeve, but with a tie. I feel like it would kind of be cool to work in that environment, even though it does take more effort.
Agreed.
But to be in a newsroom, right? Yeah. I mean, this is a great newsroom, but I'm thinking like that 60s kind of feel. You know what I mean? Typewriters and
smoking.
And, yeah, guys wearing a newsroom does. I think we're the people bringing it down.
Yeah, no. I think Amy's 100% right.
Sean Malone, they're always in suits because they have to show
Stewart
up at
wears
court.
A cap.
But he can take off his cap, and he has got
Michael's wearing a polo.
He's got a button-up collar shirt.
I know when we came over here, how long has it been since we came to the building?
It was 2021. Oh, it was 2018 when we came.
Yeah, and the guy, Dave Alper, who was like the poobah back then, the regional guy, we walked in, and I walked in looking like this, except it was wintertime, so I had my beanie on, and he comes up to me, and he goes, "This is what I want. This is, you are the template," or something like that. This is what I, because they're trying to change the whole button down CBS kind of feel. And I'm like, well, I got you, brother. So I can do that.
I think we need to be more uptight.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no. So you feel
Ron.
Like you're, cool
you got
one?
That nailed down. You can be that.
I'm with Ron. It's like, I don't want that for me, but there'd be
something
like,
cool about
the
it.
The aesthetic is kind of
yeah.
cool.
I think you
I think it's one of those things that seems like it, and then you'd be in it and you're like, ah, this sucks.
Yeah, I'm sure.
When I was a lawyer, I was at a silk stocking firm, and it was, of course, suit and tie every day. And then you were expected to come in for like half a day on Saturday and a couple hours on Sunday, which I thought they were joking. I laughed when they said that during the orientation. They're like, oh, we made the wrong hire here. but on weekends, if you came in, it was khakis and a dress shirt.
Mm-hmm.
On a weekend.
Yeah. And there was like no staff there, just the attorneys.
I think a lot of times with clothes and shoes, you know, it's hard for women to like high heels, not comfortable, right? Why do we have to wear that? However, in the summer, because guys have to wear a long sleeve button up tie shirt with a tie and a blazer, I do think guys in the summer always look hotter, like just more uncomfortable
oh, yeah.
than women in the summer, because we can wear like sundresses.
Ties are so ridiculous, aren't they?
It's the dumbest thing.
Like, let's button this all the way up uncomfortably around our neck.
We're
and
such
then tie
a weird species
it.
Because if you go well, back you 500 years, buttons, nobody
Kevin.
Wore those.
Yeah.
No, I know. I just mean it's hilarious that
to.
Because people decided this, what, 100 years ago, that this was the look, now we're still doing it.
It's way more casual than the 1600s, though. I could have
rolled with the pirate era.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
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 Unbuttoned
fluffy shirts.
A scarf.
Sure.
Oh, man, I would love if we got to wear frilled shirts.
I mean, that knock yourself out.
Cool. Yeah, bring it back. If
Nobody's
anyone can do it, it's you.
That would be pretty cool. I always admired my brother went through a cowboy phase.
You're already sleeping in a hammock like a pirate.
That's true. This is true. just turned my house into...
Your brother went through a frilly shirt
stage? A ship cabin. No, he went through a cowboy phase when he was like 18.
Yeah.
Where he wore cowboy hats everywhere and he got some cowboy shirts.
That even Malibu Dave has never done that.
He didn't pull it off. Man, he did not pull it off.
That's a bridge too far right
there.
Not
even sort of close.
Didn't you go through a mesh shirt phase?
Me?
You? Yeah.
Who among us?
No.
You should.
I have a beret that I'm terrified to wear it.
No, wear it. I went through a beret phase. That was my phase. I went through a bit of a beret.
You are a pretty girl, which means you can wear literally anything.
Yes. But I think my head is too big for the beret.
You mean physically?
Yeah, maybe the beret is too small.
Yeah, maybe. But something's not right. Every time I put it on, I'm just like, it doesn't look right on me.
The problem with a beret, because I bought a beret in Disney World at the France Land, and I thought I could try it out.
France Land!
The problem with a beret is that unless you've worn a beret every day of your life, when you put it on, everybody's going to go, beret!
Yes.
It's such a statement. Unless you were born with that thing...
When I was about 60 pounds heavier than I am now, this would have been like 2008. And I thought, well, I can either lose weight or I can just accessorize this. And I decided to do the Samuel L. Jackson backwards Kangol hat.
Yes!
Much like your beret. And I put it on and I just owned it. And I walked in and the very first person I saw was my partner in crime back then, Super Jim Modulin. And I walked in his office and he looked at me and he looked up at the hat and he looked at me and he goes... Okay. I took it off and it never hit my head again.
That's awesome.
There are guys who can pull that off and guys who can't.
It's so unfair because you guys, I went through the hat phase a few years ago too, right? Where I was wearing the hats every day.
Yeah.
It's so unfair that you can't change anything about yourself without everybody in the whole world being like, new thing.
Yep.
It's like, come on. Just let me
growing up as a kid, every time you get a haircut, everybody be like, oh, I got a haircut.
Yeah. Now, as an adult, as a 35-year-old, everybody's like, Bill, look who got a haircut.
Andrew shaved.
Look who lost his hair or whatever. And it's like, guys, hey, just let me live. Well, that's, you know what they say. Like, what do they say? Like, your hair got hurt or something. It's something stupid.
Your hair got hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Lose a fight with a lawnmower.
My dad used to say that.
Something like that.
Did your hair get hurt?
I've never heard that one.
I can't
think of what it really is.
That same stupid exchange, too. Oh, I got a haircut, huh? Well, you got all of them cut, really.
You get your ears lowered?
That's what it is. Thank you.
Back in around 2002, 2003, we went to Disney to do the show. And we're walking around, and this was like the show had just gone number one for the first time. I was all full of myself, and I'm at Disney. And I was checking out, buying something, and the lady goes, "We're not supposed to acknowledge celebrities." And I'm like, oh my God, they know me in Florida. She's like, but I just have to tell you, I love you on The Shield. She thought I was Michael Chiklis.
What?
Yeah.
That's pretty good, though.
124 DGS. Just thinking about tomorrow's private funeral for my mom, and I'm doing the eulogy, so it's on my mind. And, made me think about when Nick was little and his mom and I split up and I lived in the bottom of this really nice duplex on Forsyth in Clayton, kind of by, what's that bar? Kruger's. And across the street was this old lady. And my whole life I've always been trying to temper my misdeeds with good deeds. And so I would go over there and I would visit with her. And she was sitting out on the porch and I went over there and I sat with her. She was probably mid to late 80s. And I lived in the house that I lived in was like a 100-year-old house. And I was a scaredy cat. I did not like being alone. I was a grown man, but I still like ghosties and things like that. And, you know, you couldn't get up in the middle of the night because the Exorcist girl would be in the bathroom. And so she was sitting there in a rocking chair and she goes, "Yep, they laid them all out right there in your front room." And I'm like, I'm sorry. She goes, "Yeah, there were three spinster sisters that lived over there, and they all died within about a week of each other, and they laid them all out there together, right there in your front room."
Oh, my gosh.
Just thought you'd like to know that.
Yeah, you'll never think about that again, ever.
I am under no obligation to visit you. Absolutely none.
Well, have a nice night.
Yeah.
There is something about old-timey viewings from the early 1900s and 1800s.
They had them on ice.
Well, in the family room.
Yeah.
Like in all the old Victorian-age books, the person's in the house.
Yeah, for days. Yeah.
Well, they also used to pose for pictures with the dead.
Yeah.
Like they would dress them up and start and do like family photos.
I mean, think about it, going back probably 50,000 years. All the different funerary things that we've done and now seem crazy, and things we'll do in the future that'll make this seem crazy. Yeah. And
sorry if I've asked you this before, but there's a restaurant in Chicago called Ann Sather, and the original one is in a funeral home. It used to be a funeral home. Mm. Now it's a restaurant. Knowing that, would you eat there?
I wouldn't choose it. I could eat there, but if like the bathroom was downstairs,
ooh,
I'd have a hard time. Oh.
But wouldn't you just feel weird knowing that they prepared dead bodies,
really
now they're preparing food?
Oh.
Better be really good.
It is, but
yeah. So that would bother you a little?
Well, if it's not good, I'm not going to do it. It wouldn't bother me.
Forget the food, Wheeler. Like the fact that it used to be a funeral.
Actually,
not really. I figure you're saying they cleaned it up.
Hey, look, everyone, he hesitated.
He did hesitate.
Yeah, a little bit.
You did, were like, I don't know about. Wow, that's the first time you've ever done that.
What if it were a funeral home last year?
Probably not.
How long of a buffer would you need?
We found his weakness.
Wow.
Does not want to eat in funeral home. I don't know. How long does it take formaldehyde to go away?
It's his only one.
Well, it's not in the cinnamon rolls.
No, I'm kidding.
I think there are quite a few places like that.
Really?
I'm sure.
Yeah. Wasn't there a place over by you, Rach, when you lived over in Lafayette that was either a...
Yeah, it was a funeral home that they are turning into a bed and breakfast.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. No,
I don't know about that.
I don't think so.
There's so many people who would do that on purpose.
Oh, yeah.
Like, seek that out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Would you stay in the Lemp Mansion?
I've done several shows there. I've been there overnight, but as far as, like, if I were with a big group, I could probably stay up all night. But I couldn't just go to bed there. No.
Okay.
No.
Bed and breakfast in an old funeral home.
Yep. No,
thank
you.
More like a dead and breakfast, am I right?
Okay. Okay. All right. We got.
I think that was a moment where we all should have just been silent for about a second.
We have to get to the news,
right?
Can
you get your wife in order?
I have nothing to do with this. And I want nothing to do with it.
We should just play Rush or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's
try to cleanse the room.
You sit in traffic now, but later... There's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 136. Boy, my voice sounds better.
It does.
Yeah, I've been real raspy lately. Strange. I thought it was Monday.
Maybe that's why it feels better.
Going.
Yeah,
could be. Yeah, I had Sunday off yesterday. You guys probably have seen this story. I only saw it this morning of women's Olympic boxing. And Wheels, you've looked into this. I'm going to let you frame it for us.
Yeah, it's because there's a lot of interesting angles to talk about here. So people that haven't seen it, there's a boxing match on the women's side in the Olympics, a fighter from Italy and a fighter from Algeria. The fighter from Italy got punched. Was it twice? It was 46 seconds
twice.
And just said, I'm done. I'm not doing this. I got hit too hard. And she did not shake the hand of her opponent. It's very clear that there's an issue there. And there is. The fighter from Algeria was disqualified from an international boxing association or federation. Right? IBA. So it was disqualified from a gold medal match in the 2023 IBA championships, their world competition, because she failed a test, a genetics test. Essentially, she has XY chromosome and also has elevated levels of testosterone. And there's a really interesting and legitimate scientific medical conversation to be had about this condition and the fairness of that in competition. Now, you know, if you look at her record, she's fought 14 times. She's 9-5. She did advance to the quarterfinals in the 2020 Olympics fighting for Algeria. And then in 2023, this test came across. So she has what is called DSD, disorder of sex development. And it's led to the higher levels of testosterone and the presence of an XY chromosome, despite the fact that she was born a woman, born a girl, raised as a girl. The story behind her is her dad wouldn't let her box. She'd have to like go to another town to do it. So her dad wouldn't let her because it wasn't okay for girls to box. But what's happening is another thing. That's one conversation, and that's a really important conversation. It's a lot like the track star Caster Semenya. There was a lot of controversy about Caster, who had some of the same things, a little bit different situation, but had some of the same characteristics, but also had, I think, some internal organs that were male, and there was a little bit more confusion there as to how it should be handled compared to this. This is a little bit simpler, but nothing in this is simple. But what's happening on social media is the people that you would think, you know, the libs of TikTok, the Clay Travises of the world, have turned this into a transgender issue, that a man is fighting a woman. This fighter is not transgender, is not and has not transitioned. It is illegal to transition in Algeria. It is against the law. If she were trans, there is no way she would be allowed to fight for Algeria in the Olympics. So what we have is two separate stories, and it's clouding the actual thing, right? The actual story should be, what is the science of this, and what is the fairness versus unfairness of this particular person competing? But it's being used by U.S. people for their own political gains, even though this is not related to that issue. This is not a man fighting a woman. This is a woman who has XY chromosome and has elevated testosterone levels, because as we know, there are all kinds of medical conditions that impact this phenomenon. But we can't have that conversation in the United States right now. We have to turn it into a political cudgel, and they're saying, see, this is what the liberals want. They want men fighting women in the Olympics. That is not what's happening.
To be fair, Italy actually did. It wasn't just this pushback was not just the U.S. Italy had a ton of they were in the country, the social media in Italy, the fans did not want her to fight.
No, and it's
this
and
person
again,
because this person had been disqualified. Now the
I mean, she's a woman, though, Amy. I mean, that
no,
it's
saying,
a she. She's not,
the,
you know,
the Boxing Association had like. I'm not familiar with this organization. The president had less kind words because it said there were two boxers who.
Yes, there's another one who's involved still in the Olympics now from China.
And maybe
China.
People misunderstand it because his.
Oh, wait, Taiwan, maybe.
The Boxing Association, and this was in NBC, ABC, CBS reports, said that these two boxers had, quote, tricked people into thinking that they were women. And so maybe if you are reading that report, you don't know about the DSD, and you're a little bit confused because the boxers have XY chromosomes, then you're thinking it is part of the larger conversation about male sports and female sports. But just because I know the U.S., it's very politicized, but it is also in other countries because there were those in Italy. She was going despite, I believe even her own coach said, you shouldn't do this fight.
Right, which is why she opted out so quickly when it started, I think, because that was probably already in mind, right?
Yeah, and then you know, the obviously the force of the hit's going to feel very different.
I mean, and I think, and that's the, this is the problem though, is you know how long it took me to find this information? 2 minutes. A Google search and then a follow up to what's the background. It took me 2 minutes.
But the real interesting part of the story to me is it, you had to look it up. When I saw it on Drudge, it said a biologically male. And so that led me to believe it was a transgender person.
And that's on purpose. That's the problem with it. Because it's being treated here in the States as a political weapon when it is not that. This is a human being that was born female, that has a condition, a medical condition, that has led to the presence of an XY chromosome. This is a condition that has a name. It exists outside of sports. It exists outside of the question of anything or outside of the issue of anything related to transgender people.
Does anyone know, because I do not, what is the final arbiter? Is it your genitalia? Is it your chromosomes?
They don't say. They said she failed a gender test.
Well, they're saying it was the test for the chromosome and for the testosterone levels.
But then it also, again, on NBC, it said it wasn't necessarily clear what the gender test, although
now
it
that
did
was,
say
I'm
the
sorry,
chromosomes.
I should say this. That was for the IBA.
Okay.
The International Boxing Association, their standards are probably different than the Olympic standards. Mm-hmm. And again, that's the question we should be having, or the conversation that we should be having. Are the Olympic standards correct? Are they fair? This is not about a social issue. I mean, it's just not. And anybody that's using it for that is doing it for selfish reasons to get engagement on social media, because rage farming is a thing. And the more you rage farm,
lucrative.
The more money. Right. That's my point. The more money you're going to make by doing that. And then on top of that, it's got the political side. See, this is what the left wants. They want men fighting women. But that's not a man.
Yeah,
it is not that we have had that case. We have had that case in mixed martial arts. Fallon Fox was a trans female fighter. So a man that transitioned to a woman that was fighting other women. And it was a big story at the time. And there were a couple of fighters, and I forget who it was, but one of the women that fought Fallon Fox said, "I've never been hit like that before."
Mm-hmm.
That was like getting hit by a man. That's what it felt like. And that was a big controversy. Fallon Fox was never fighting for UFC or anything like that, because nobody wanted to take that issue on. So there, again, that would be, if you were looking at that issue, that particular case of someone like Fallon Fox, the arguments being made would be more accurate and fair, because that was formerly a man fighting as a woman and fighting other women. This case in the Olympics is not that. And there's another fighter in these Olympics that has the same condition. Lin Yuting from Taiwan. That fighter is still in competition right now. And I think there's a scientific sports fairness conversation that has to be had in these kinds of things. It's not necessarily fair to the women that are involved, just like it wasn't necessarily fair to Caster Semenya, who was the track star from South Africa, who, you know, a lot of people, you know, that was even more biologically complex than what we're talking about now.
Right, because I think she had both sets of genitalia.
Yes, but internal. It wasn't external, mm-hmm. So there wasn't anything on the outside that mm-hmm. would present that way. And I think this is the problem with where we are, is we can't even have the proper conversation, because people are turning it into something that it's not. That is not a man fighting a woman. It is not that.
Playing the devil's advocate here, and I get that, because I would say there need to be three conversations here, is looking at sex development disorder. And since sports is science, you know, you have to look at what qualifies.
Yeah.
And it may not be fair to the people who have this disorder, but it's, you know, if you're born with a you know, one arm, you're not going to be in the Olympics. You could maybe be in Paralympics. I mean, there's just different things that are the physiology, the body, right? You're limited by your own body. We all are limited by our bodies in different ways.
And I would agree with you 100% in this, because I do think that it becomes a very question about physicality, but nobody's going to ask that question about a guy that's bigger and stronger than every other guy that he fights. And that's why it's more complicated, because we have to decide at what point is it, right. is this genetic difference totally unfair, and is it only for one side? Is it only for men's or women's sports that we have that conversation?
So then that's one question, or one conversation. And the other conversation, when it does come to transgender athletes in sports, there are those absolutely who fearmonger and outrage. However, there are those also, like me, I consider myself pretty objective. I consider myself not a fearmonger or outrage proponent, who feels very passionate about women's sports and spaces that are female only. I would say, like, Martina Navratilova, no one's going to accuse her of being an outrage farmer.
Right.
But she's
right.
very passionate about the importance of female sports. And I find that when I bring up that I'm upset about something or feel that this is very unfair, it's either transphobic or I'm dismissed as it's not that big of a deal. But what I'm saying is, again, it is a big deal, because if you have one biologically male body, even like in a state competing in a sport, that person could erase all the biological
right.
female records.
But that conversation is not about what's happening in the Olympics, and we shouldn't be connecting them.
153 DGS. So, as everyone knows, I famously have no social media. I have TikTok. I've never created anything or posted anything, because I don't want to, and I don't know how, and I would look ridiculous. but like I waste time on it, and you know, there you see stuff like, for a while there, when I had child boxing, horse hospice, and skin tags, I was feeling a little bit bad about myself. And today we hit a new low. You know, like the you got a million Raptors versus John Wick.
Yeah.
This one was 50,000 Joe Bidens versus 100,000 Skibbity Toilets.
But aren't well, in the toilet?
No, yeah. Hold on. Aren't Skibidi toilets really big?
Some of them are.
They're about the size of Biden.
Yeah, like I think.
Oh, I thought they were the
main one. No, I think the main one is a giant, like the head. Skibidi.
Well, my money's on the Skibidi toilet.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
They lost badly to the Bidens.
Really? Yeah, really,
you know, yeah. But I love those Sims. I watch those all the time.
They
I know you're
they
shocked.
Had very little agility.
There was like it was like four Darth did? Vaders against like 1,000 Marines
He's
or something.
Around.
Yeah, like yeah. A 100 Navy SEALs versus the
yes.
entire Roman army
yes.
or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If it makes you guys feel better about the youth of America, I asked an 11-year-old about Skibidi toilet, and I said, are you guys making fun of us? Is it actually funny? And he goes, no, it's funny. It's just dumb. He goes, I don't really get it.
That's comforting.
Yeah.
I know. It's dumb. I don't really
I was going to ask because I don't know what it is. So.
Skibidi toilet?
Yeah.
It's an animated thing.
It's a YouTube. Yep. It started off as a YouTube series.
It's the natural enemy of
Michael
Bobo.
Bay is turning it into a movie.
He Shut is
up.
Michael Bay is turning
oh,
it into
I hate
a
that
movie
guy so much.
But essentially, it's a sci-fi-ish thing that like these creatures that live in toilets are aliens, and there's a battle between the Skibidis and the
Who
others.
Do they have to buy the rights from?
I don't know the people that created it. On the, and by the way,
Mr. Skibidi.
It is.
It's got a lot of views, right?
It is arguably the most viewed franchise ever.
No.
It's like almost a billion views on their videos.
Wasn't it? I forgot who I saw say this, but it was the first thing that Skibidi Toilet was the first thing that Gen Z doesn't understand about Gen Alpha.
Yeah, yeah. And it doesn't make any sense. It's mm-hmm. random stupidity. It just mm-hmm. is. But it's something to do with like alien heads that live in a toilet and or they are the toilet and they're fighting against.
So how do they use it?
Other beings that like have a TV monitor for a head. Well, how do they use Skibidi?
Yeah.
I mean, it can be anything. Like,
is it a good thing or a bad
thing? It's kind of like Aloha. Like, anything
Aloha.
Can be Skibidi.
Smurf.
Yeah, like,
it's
it can
like
mean,
Smurf.
Yeah, it can literally mean anything they want it to mean, depending on the context of
you
when they're
You guys are
using
making
it
make less sense by saying all that.
I know. It doesn't make any sense. It's not meant to.
By saying it's like Aloha or Smurfs.
No, the...
I know. I don't
Well,
don't
the usage
get
of the word can, is context dependent, which sounds ridiculous
not remember
to say.
Smurf?
Yeah.
No, I don't remember Smurf.
Smurf, they would... Smurf meant, like, everything.
Oh.
Like, there, use it in a sentence.
I don't know. It's a Smurf jacket you're wearing today.
What are you talking? Oh, like in the Smurf.
Yes, the Smurf.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like you
show.
And your buds.
I'm what like, did you guys think I was talking
like
about?
You.
Like
you. I thought
like
you meant
slang.
Like...
I thought you said Smurf was slang. Like, wow, you're looking Smurf today.
No. Like in the show, the way they used it, it meant literally 100 different things.
Hey, this just happened. I quit.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.